We start with the Nectar recital. If you have the papers in front of you, let us start reciting Metta. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings have happy minds, whatever living beings there may be, without exception, weak or strong, long, large, medium, short, subtle or gross, visible or invisible, living near or far, born or coming to birth. May all beings have happy minds. Let no one deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere, neither from anger nor ill will should anyone wish harm another. As a mother would risk her own life to protect her only child, even so towards all living beings, one should cultivate a boundless heart. One should cultivate for all the world a heart of boundless loving friendliness, above, below and all around, unobstructed, without hate or resentment, whether standing, walking, sitting, lying down or when awake. One should develop this mindfulness. This is called divinely dwelling here, not falling into erroneous views, virtuous and endowed with vision, removing desires for sensual pleasures. One comes never again to birth in the womb. These are very beautiful, meaningful thoughts that we should cultivate not only during meditation, but all other times. As the recital itself says, whether standing, sitting, walking, lying down, or whenever awake, these thoughts should be cultivated. When we cultivate metta, we cultivate it in three ways. First is recital, that's what we did now. When we recite, we must recite these words with full understanding of the meaning. We are not just parroting. Anybody can memorize and repeat these words. Even a parrot, minor birds, can do it. But we are not doing that way. We recite them as intellectual understanding people practicing mindfulness. We recite them with understanding. This practice also is called mindfulness. In the recital itself, we just read it. This mindfulness should be cultivated. So Buddha equated mindfulness with metta, or metta with mindfulness, because we have to be mindful of suffering of ours and suffering of others in order to cultivate metta. When we don't understand suffering, we may not feel like practicing metta. And therefore these two are not totally different, but interrelated two practices, metta and mindfulness. So when we recite these words, we have to be very mindful of suffering. And the purpose of reciting is to minimize, even eliminate our suffering. And suffering, and wishing others to be free from suffering. By reciting these words, we cannot remove sufferings in the world, nor can we remove our suffering. But the purpose is to cultivate metta so that gradually we will develop a special mental state, friendly mental state, to minimize our suffering caused by unfriendliness. The world is full of unfriendliness. In such a world, friendliness is very rare, so we want to cultivate it as much as we can. So the first level of cultivating metta is reciting words with full understanding. The second level is thinking about metta, thinking the metta, how it works in our daily life. When we think the meaning of metta, with these thoughts, whenever we talk about somebody, we talk about that person with metta. We always don't try to see loopholes of others. We try to think of them with friendliness. When we think of a friend, normally we have soft heart with very soft, kind, gentle feelings. We think about our friends. That is the way we have to think of all beings. When we think of friends, we don't think of harming them, hurting them. We think of helping them, supporting them. Similarly, when we think of all beings, we think of how to help. We might not be able to help everyone in the world, but at least the thought of friendliness, helping thought, would melt our heart. When an opportunity arises, we will execute our thoughts. Then the last level is feeling level. When we recite words, when we think, then we begin to feel the impact of metta. We must feel it within our heart, and with that feeling we can work, we can speak, we can act, we can think. So the metta practice is not limited to reciting words, sitting in one place. We must execute it in our thoughts, words and deeds. That's how metta practice becomes effective in our life. That is how it brings its benefits. So when we start our meditation, we recite these words with understanding, we think about them, and we feel metta. When we feel metta, when somebody sitting next to us feels metta vibration coming out of our body, it's just like when you are very angry, full of hatred, grudge. The person sitting next to you feel your agitation, anger, hatred, because you emanate that kind of vibration. This is more so with animals. You probably might have noticed some dogs attack some people but not others. I have witnessed it myself that I had a dog. That dog did not try to bark, did not bark at some people and barked at some others. They are growling, showing their disapproval of some people's vibration, because they are full of fear, anger, and negative mental state they have. Others who are very friendly, this dog approaches them and shows his affection. This we have seen particularly with animals. They are the ones who feel the vibration emanating from our body. And also when we cultivate metta, that generates positive hormones in our body, healthy hormones, healthy chemistry, which expresses through our face. Just like when we are angry, negative chemistry generates and shows it on our face. When we practice metta, that is expressed through our face, eyes and body. So friends, this is a very wonderful meditation that we use for at the beginning of every kind of meditation. So with these metta thoughts, we proceed with our mindfulness meditation or concentration meditation. Metta practice itself can be used for both concentration and mindfulness. But as most of us are quite familiar with using other subjects for concentration and mindfulness, such as the breathing, we start with that. We use the breath because of its pure, clean, tangible, personal nature, which is always present, just like air everywhere. We breathe that air freely, available everywhere. The mind becomes very free, clear of agitation, excitement, anger, resentment, and so on, when the mind unites with the breath. So we first become aware of the breath. We don't deliberately manipulate the breath or control the breath. This is not breath controlling breathing exercise. This is using the breath to gain insight through becoming aware of the function and characteristics of breath. So we sometimes feel the breath long, we become aware of it. So we become aware of long inhaling. When it becomes long, we become aware of long exhaling. When it becomes long, we become aware of short inhaling and short exhaling when they become short. This is very natural occurrence. We don't deliberately make the breath long or short. We become aware of the entire breath, which is called breath body. Breath body, when you pay total attention to the breath, you can see the breath has a beginning, middle and end, and the total breath includes these three moments, beginning, middle, end, whether it is inhaling or exhaling. When the mindfulness is sharp, attention is clear, then we can notice all these three points, beginning, middle, and end. We don't verbalize or conceptualize the beginning, middle and end, but simply mentally note, mentally become aware of the beginning, middle and end. And the breath is made up of four elements. Breath has earth element. We don't try to look for earth element. We cannot find it by looking for it, but we experience the characteristic function of the earth element in the breath. That is, when we breathe in and out, we feel the touch of breath, hardness or softness of the breath. This hardness or softness of the breath is due to the presence of earth element. Only through this characteristic in the breath can we notice that there is earth element in the breath. Otherwise, there is no way. Because of the presence of the force of the breath, we can feel it. It is very much the same as external air. External air can push trees, houses, vehicles, water, break down many things by pushing. When there is a tornado, hurricane, typhoon and so on, the air becomes so strong, so powerful, that blows everything in its way. And that force is because of the presence of earth element. Breath has water element. Because of the presence of water element, sometimes we feel the breath moist, wet, sometimes dry. This dryness or wetness of the breath is because of the presence of water element. In the air, there is vapor of water, and that we breathe in and out, we feel the moisture. When vapor is not there, we experience dryness. The breath has a fire element. Sometimes we feel heat as we breathe in and out, sometimes we feel cool. The cool and heat, or coolness and hot, or heat, we feel because of the presence of heat element, fire element in the air. And because of the presence of earth element, water element, fire element, when the air blows, we get in the outside lightning, and that is so powerful it can destroy anything in its way. And this air element in itself, the oscillation or movement of air is because of the presence of air element. And the combination of these four externally generates a great force to destroy anything, but they also helps outside things to survive, bringing oxygen, carbon dioxide and so forth. Internally, they do the same thing to this body to keep the body alive. These four elements that we breathe in and out is extremely important. That is why the breath is called prana or pana. Pana means life. Prana or pana is life. So we breathe life in and out so we can keep alive. And in this breath, all we need is, from this breath we can learn these elements. And also when we pay total attention to this breath, we experience constant change of the breath. And it is because of this change, everything is possible. Oxygen can exchange with carbon dioxide in our lungs. Because of the movement, because of impermanent nature, if one tiny little oxygen atom remains unchanged, then the whole thing can become defunct, useless, meaningless. So every oxygen atom must move, change, to replace carbon dioxide, to circulate around the body, bringing oxygen to the very tiny little tip of our fingers, through the tiny little capillaries. All these movements is possible because of the presence of all these four elements together. When the temperature drops, heat drops, air element drops, earth element reduced, water element reduced, then we will have problems. All of them are in balance. Though we do not think about these things, they are all in balance in our breath. So breath is the body. In this breath body, there is everything we need to develop our mindfulness. Its function is always there, renewing, refreshing, reminding us impermanence. As we pay attention to the breath, breath becomes slowly, gradually softer and softer, gentle and gentle, calm and calm, and the mind also becomes soft, gentle, calm and peaceful. Experiencing this calm, gentle, peaceful feeling, we breathe in, breathe out. We cannot deliberately make the breath calm or the mind calm, but paying total attention without any assumption, verbalizing or conceptualizing, we can make the mind calm, relaxed and peaceful. The moment we introduce words, emotions, we interrupt our calm, peaceful state. For this reason, we suggest don't introduce words. Don't try to think of anything of the past or ponder over the future. Simply pay total mindful attention on the breath, to the breath as it is happening now. Then relaxing the experiencing the relaxed mind, relaxed body, breathe in and breathe out. Sometimes you might have heard people say relaxing the mind, breathe in and breathe out. We cannot relax the mind deliberately. Mind relaxes itself when we do the right thing. The right thing to relax the mind is to pay attention without assumption, without words, concepts, ideas, just pure, simple, total, undivided attention we pay to our breath, becoming aware of inhaling, exhaling, and the changes that take place. Sometimes we experience pleasant sensation, sometimes unpleasant sensation. They all incessantly change. Becoming aware of this change, we breathe in and breathe out. While doing so, if you hear a sound, don't question the sound, who made the sound, how it was made, where it came from, and asking why it's happening and so on, just become aware of the sound, just as you become aware of the breath. You find in the sound the same thing you experience in the breath. Sound also is made up of air element, water element, fire element, heat element. We don't see them. Sound comes through waves. They all change. If you pay attention to the sound without any emotional reaction, all you notice in the sound is change, impermanence. Feelings, memories, ideas, all have the same characteristic. When idea arises, that has a beginning, middle, end, or birth, decay, and death. In a thought, there is a beginning or birth, growth, decay, and death. The thought slowly arises and slowly matures, grows, and slowly passes away. Anything you experience have these characteristics of rising, falling, birth, decay, death, we can experience. They are very subtle moments, so therefore stay paying attention to the breath as the mind becomes clearer and clearer and your insight grows and becomes sharper and sharper. Awareness, understanding, insight, all you can develop. That is how wisdom arises. So friends, in short, keep paying total mindful attention to your breathing. Whatever I said so far are mere words. These words become a reality in you, in your mind and body, only if you keep paying attention to them. And then you will see the truth in these words. So I hope we proceed with this practice. If you have aches and pains occasionally, notice that aches and pain also is arising, growing, maturing, and disappearing. They all are constantly changing, they all are impermanent. Your perception arises, grows, matures, and passes away. Your consciousness arises, grows, matures, and passes away. Nothing can you see static, everything is constantly changing. If you don't resist and go along with them, your practice will be very smooth. So I wish you success and stop talking so that you can see how true these things are in your own experience. I don't ring the bell, as I said yesterday. You sit as long as you like and then stand up slowly and walk. Perhaps outside may not be very good for walking. It may be wet. So try to find a place inside to walk without disturbing anybody. And then quietly come back and sit.